Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Batman number 188. Cover date, December 1966. Cover price, 12 cents. Cover artists, Carmine Infantino and Joe Giella. Edited by Julius Schwartz. Featuring The Eraser Who Tried to Rub Out Batman. Written by John Broom. Art by Sheldon Moldoff and Joe Giella. And The 10 Best Dressed Corpses in Gotham City. Written by Gardner Fox. Art by Sheldon Moldoff and Sid Green. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go go. Commissioner Gordon calls Batman to help solve a series of crimes in which all clues have been mysteriously erased. Batman interrupts a robbery in progress and learns that an underworld crook calling himself the Eraser is selling his services to other criminals. Meanwhile, publisher Matt Whitson explains to police and Batman that three of the men on his magazine's 10 Best Dressed Men list have recently been murdered. Batman promises to investigate. Earlier in the day, he had had his own narrow escape from death as Bruce Wayne, another man on the list. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, beer, beer for old Gotham, you bring the whiskey, I'll bring the booze, send the freshman out for gin, and don't let a sober sophomore in. Juniors never stagger, seniors never fall, they sober up on wood alcohol. All the loyal faculty lie drunk in the study hall. That's the fight song from Gotham University, of course, where Bruce Wayne has a flashback of his college days this week.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you used to sing in college?
Not college, high school. That's Grandview Heights High School fight song.
That's funny.
Of course, we weren't drinking wood alcohol. Not those days.
No. Well, hi.
Hi. How you been?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. Busy weekend.
Yep.
Busy weekend.
Tell me all about it.
Well, what are we doing on Friday?
Nothing.
No.
What?
Well, I traveled a lot last week.
I worked.
Yes, I traveled a lot last week, and then we came home and relaxed Friday because we had a really busy weekend this Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday, I spent the entire day fighting with the lawnmower.
Oh.
The riding lawnmower.
Who won?
Well, the lawnmower won on Saturday.
Yep.
And then we had a nice evening on Saturday evening, and then church today, right?
Yes.
And then we went to students' recital. Well, mm-hmm. I went to a capstone presentations for history majors. No,
mm-hmm.
It was nice.
Okay.
And then we went to a students' recital,
yeah,
a guitar recital, which was excellent.
Yes.
And now we're home. But I fought with that lawnmower all day yesterday, and wouldn't you know, I found a YouTube video on how to replace the belt and realized that on the deck belt that drives the lawnmower blades, I had, because it popped off, and because you should really engage and release the belt slowly.
Sure, duh.
Well, I had popped it off. Like, I just sort of let quick release, and it popped off. And so I had placed it in the wrong placement.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to YouTube, I got out there today. It was like, click, 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 got it fixed. I was so happy because I was hours yesterday dealing with this. That I yelled out a exclamation of joy, all by my. I mean, I was like, it was for no one but me.
How interesting and marvelous.
Well, I just want to say that I was very thrilled. So I got the... Doesn't the yard look nice?
It doesn't.
I weeded the flower beds. I killed all the weeds.
What's this tree out here? Red bud?
Red buds. Those are red buds, yeah.
They're lovely.
Aren't they beautiful?
Mm-hmm, against the green grass.
I love this time of year. Yeah, it's great. So I killed all the weeds up front. I sprayed my homemade vinegar and salt and soap solution on the weeds by the storm drain out there. All got. So I just did lots of yard work.
You want to give the recipe for that for our horticultural listeners?
Well, I don't use anymore. I never use Roundup. I use this other thing. It's homemade weed killer. And it's very simple to make. You just use, you go to the hardware store and buy a gallon of vinegar.
White vinegar?
White vinegar. Mm-hmm. It's usually 30% vinegar. It's for cleaning purposes.
So balsamic wouldn't work?
No. Plus, you couldn't afford to. You wouldn't want to do it. It's not economical to do that. Okay. So you buy a gallon of vinegar.
Yes.
You put in into your sprayer the vinegar, a cup of Epsom salt.
Epsom salt.
Hmm. Yes. And you mix it up with, I use a spoon, like a long spoon. And then you add to that 2 tablespoons of Dawn dishwashing detergent. Mm-hmm. And the Dawn helps the solution stick to the leaves.
Right.
And you spray it. So you put it in a sprayer, you spray it on, and it'll, if it's a warm day, you'll see results within an hour.
Delicious.
Yeah. And it works for a couple months. It's great. I probably do it twice a season,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps the weeds from growing in through the little paving stones that we have, and that whole area out there where the rocks are by the... I don't have to talk about it anymore. But anyway, so I use that, and it's great. It's non-toxic. It doesn't hurt you. It's great. So,
it's so tiresome owning extensive grounds, isn't it? Just like Mansfield Park.
Just like Mansfield Park or Wayne Manor.
Yes.
Right?
Speaking of, mm-hmm. here's Batman, number 188.
Now, is this the first time we've read a Batman title? I know we read Batman all the time, but it's usually in detective comics.
Oh, it comes and goes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Batman is... So, Detective is a monthly. I think Batman at this point is not monthly comic. Okay. Probably like 8 times a year. Why are you making the Vulcan...
Well, I'm just doing what Batman's doing on the cover.
Oh, not Vulcan, actually. That's a...
I know. So I was trying to... this is Vulcan. I was just... Batman's got his... Yeah. Hands doing some sort of, and Robin's doing a similar gesture with his left hand.
Yes. Whoosh. Here comes the rubber-headed villain, the eraser who tried to rub out Batman. It's Batman number 188, December 1966. Plus a special bat thriller that is hyphenated.
Right, the 10 best dressed corpses in Gotham City.
I can't wait. Now, this eraser fellow, I wish this actually happened in the comic. He's literally erasing Batman,
which would make
Robin.
His power supernatural, but that's not the case.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a villain in Marvel Comics who does. He, like, wipes out, like, deletes parts of people's bodies from existence.
Wow.
Oh, it's terrific. Batman and Robin are hurled into combat with the, quote-unquote, human eraser. A fantastic villain who almost brings justice to a standstill by a gimmick we dare not reveal. All we can do is warn you to brace yourselves before reading
The Eraser Who Tried to Rub Out Batman.
On this page, you have Batman and Robin in fist fights or whatever, and Batman saying, "Look out for the eraser, Robin. His boot tips are pencil point sharp.
Yep, they sure are.
And Robin says, "Looks more like he's trying to erase us out of the picture, Batman."
I'm wondering right off the bat if this villain was created as a possible addition to the television show, because this is exactly the kind of
craziness
character they would have. Cookie He's character. Dressed in a yellow suit with pencil tip point shoes and a giant eraser mask.
And he's a skinny man in a skinny suit.
This would be just the kind of role that Roddy McDowall could have played had he not played the bookworm on Batman.
Agreed. So as we go into the story, we have Bruce and...
Dick,
excuse me. Standing outside of a department store, looking in a window. And as Bruce and Bruce Batman Wayne and Dick Robin Grayson pass a unique exhibit in the skyscraper department store... look at the cutie in the window. Ogle you, Bruce. I wish I had an eyelash concession. Oh, Jesus Christ. I forgot. I did a huge eye roll when I read this.
Sure.
I wish I had the eyelash concession for all the girls that flutter their lashes when they see you. Uh-huh. Shut up,
Robin. We should mention that this department store has hired a model in a bikini, evening gloves, and high-heeled stiletto shoes.
She's not in a bikini. She's in a one-piece.
Oh, that's... Yes, correct.
But she's...
She's selling...
To promote erasers. Are erasers a high... volume, expensive item that warrant actually hiring a human, live human model to fetch people to come in? Unless it, maybe it's a stationery store, section of the store.
And well, it could be. And also, it is advertised as Erase Your Mistakes Week, which famously happens in the beginning of December. And, no, I just made that up. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know if this is a floor model eraser, but the erasers are 3 feet tall.
Yes.
So that would be a hard sell. For.
Well, yeah. Imagine trying to use that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if he said, what are you staring at? As if I didn't wish I was old enough to get her telephone number. Hey, Dick says to him.
And Bruce says, for once, Dick, have you got the wrong number? That giant eraser reminds me of someone I knew years ago when I was in college.
One of my classmates was named Lenny Fiasco. Fiasco. And then this asshole teacher...
Yeah, he should be fired for this.
You'll wear a hole in that blackboard erasing all the mistakes you make, Mr. Fiasco. Try to get it right this time, and maybe you won't have to spend all your time erasing.
If a student's making that many mistakes, that's on the teacher. And this reminds me of a teacher I knew at a former institution who gave an exam, and every student failed the exam.
Uh-huh.
Which is a problem with the teacher.
Right.
And instead of helping the students to improve, he stapled McDonald's applications to each and every one of their exams and turned them back to the students.
I don't remember this.
Oh, don't you?
Was this at an institution you and I went to?
No, this was where I taught at an institution. Within the past 10 years.
Really? Uh-huh. Oh, my yes. goodness. Well, stapled McDonald's applications.
Yes, to the tests and passed them back.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is a... I can say this. That's a dick move.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good teaching.
No, it's not. But no.
If every student fails, maybe you need to look at what you've done with the lessons.
But it absolutely tracks with that. A professor's behavior in other areas. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Batman, or rather Bruce Wayne, is going on to explain about the only time I didn't see Lenny with an eraser in his hand was at the Winter Carnival when I rode past him with the Ice Queen from our class. Really? The Winter Carnival with the
Ice Queen. The Winter Carnival with the Ice Queen, and Lenny's got a tear in his eye.
She said, it must be cold standing there, Bruce. Look, Lenny's eyes are tearing.
No, he's crying, Ice Queen, because he likes you.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne doesn't care about her.
Well, Bruce hasn't seen Lenny since he flunked out of college.
Wow.
Well, it's no wonder he turned to a life of crime, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he hates Bruce Wayne.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So Bruce Wayne gets stopped by all these beautiful women, and they say, oh, Mr. Wayne, can I have your autograph?
Autograph hounds for Bruce Wayne, a prominent millionaire.
May I have your autograph? Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And then poor Dick, he's saying, I feel colder than poor Lenny at the Winter Carnival. The only time anyone would ask for my autograph is on a check.
Why don't you write a check to one of these ladies, Dick, and stop bellyaching about Bruce getting all the attention.
So later at the Wayne Mansion.
Yes. Alfred's been manning the phones. Alfred recently returned to life from being the outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred's, the phone has been blazing since you were out. I've had to put asbestos gloves on to pick it up.
Thanks, Alfred. You're the perfect butler. Ha ha ha.
So it's, of course, Commissioner Gordon on the hotline. He's telling Batman to come to police headquarters right away. He won't tell them why.
No.
He's actually to meet at the Riverside Bank. So into their costumes, celebrated the world over, the two change, and then, with a roar of bat engines, the unique Batmobile flashes out.
Yeah, so and the commissioner hasn't told him anything.
No.
So as the dynamic duo enters the Riverside Bank, what do you see in this vault, Batman?
Nothing. nothing at all.
That's exactly it. Nothing. For the past week, we haven't found a single clue at any crime. Not a stray bit of ash from a cigarette butt, not torn off button, not even the scent of a man's body. It's as if Gangland had discovered a fantastic eraser to rub out every conceivable clue crooks leave behind. It looks like club.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Even Batman's micro bat lens can't reveal footprints. Every possible clue seems to have been erased. And the police have suppressed all publicity on these clueless crimes because they don't want the underworld to know how successful it's been.
Batman says, well, it's hard for me to think inside a bank vault, Commissioner. Come on, Robin, let's go out for some fresh air while we can, so we can think clearly.
What do you think's outside? More autograph hounds, this time for Batman. That's
so stupid. Now they're like holding Batman toys, grown women.
Yes.
Oh, Batman, will you autograph these toy models of yourself we're making? What? Really?
Robin does a take to the audience. It doesn't matter whether it's Bruce Wayne or Batman. I'm always left out in the cold. Did I ever tell you about...
Who is he? So that, like that robot who is fawning over the professor all the time and pissed off that, people pay attention to him. And she...
Tina?
Tina, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he's not gay for Batman. It's just like he's... What is he, jealous?
Did I ever tell you about when I saw the Sunshine Boys with Mickey Rooney and Donald O'Connor?
Is that when he would just go...
Yes, Donald O'Connor was strictly stayed in character the entire time, and Mickey Rooney, every time there was a punchline, he would turn to the audience, stick his tongue out of his mouth, and go,
Where did you see that?
At the Ohio Theater. Columbus, Ohio. It was probably Kenley Players or something.
Biggest child star in the world!
In the world!
So this girl says, I'm a reader. I just heard what you thought. There, smack. Feel better, Robin?
Gulp. I mean, that's sexual assault, lady.
Oh, she says,
you didn't ask for permission.
I'm a mind reader. Good God, what's wrong with me right now?
Suddenly,
too much time in the sun.
Falling near Batman's feet is one of these dolls that the gals have been making. It fell from an upper window. And they're going to have to go up the building, scale the building, and see what's up. And this is definitely a reference to the TV show.
Oh, 100%.
Climbing up the side of the building. And
so they're hanging precariously in space outside this big window.
Yes.
And the criminals are saying, but
You missed the...
Oh, what?
Well, Robin says, shouldn't we have music for this act? Because they're climbing up the side of the...
Which is a reference to the show.
Hanging
precariously in space, the dynamic duo watches outside. But this week's proceeds from the sale of the Batman models are going to charity. We're contributing your money to charity. Ours.
Uh-oh. Well, Batman and Robin do a double flip, get inside the window, and start nugging out these masked thugs.
Oh, I don't think I did the first voice correctly. It's a man. It's they're having like some sort of...
Oh, yeah. It's the boss of the foreman of the...
They're making these toys, and the proceeds from the sale of the toys are going to charity.
I'll do his voice. But this week's proceeds from the sale of the Batman models are going to charity.
We're contributing more money to charity. Ours!
Okay, that's a better read, yeah.
So like expert gymnast, Batman and Robin reverse flip into the office.
And then we get a full page of punching. And sound effects. How smack, punch, bop!
Batman!
One of the criminals drops a line. He said, I told you we should have had the eraser ensure this job. Ugh, crunch, pow.
Eraser, did you hear that, Robin?
Sounds like an expert silencer, a killer, a dead shot.
So, as the dynamic duo searches the KO'd gangsters for evidence... holy bonfire! That newspaper burst into flames the moment you touched it, Batman! Yet it didn't burn in the crook's pocket!
So the police take the gang to headquarters. Batman takes this newspaper in for examination. Robin deduces it must have been specially treated to burst into flames. And one of these doll gals says, oh, Batman, will you autograph this model of you I was going to throw out after the other one as an SOS signal?
Robin Silver's like, it never ends.
Oh, boy.
Shortly at the Batcave, where the newspaper ashes have been scientifically restored.
No wonder this paper was chemically treated so it would burst into flames when untreated hands like mine touched it. It's a copy of the secret
underground.
What?
No wonder Gangland wanted to keep it so secret. There are tips on committing crimes. And look, a help wanted column. Expert gunman wanted. Card sharp for hire.
And then before the incredulous eyes of the master detective,
an ad for the eraser. Don't take chances. Let the eraser erase every clue from your crimes. Only 20% of job before taxes. You don't mean to tell me that criminals are paying taxes on their ill-gotten loot.
No way.
Right to box 19611, general delivery. And there's a picture of this eraser gentleman right there in the ad.
So after consultation with the police, Bruce Wayne is putting a letter into a mailbox. And he says, Dick, we're not going to take any chances of arousing the eraser's suspicions by watching for him at the post office. But this letter asking him to erase a crime will bring him out into the open.
Later, in Bruce's private bath, where Dick just happens to be hanging out.
Now, is that a full tub, a full sink of water, or a full tub?
It's either a very, very large sink or a bathtub, yes.
Mm.
Bruce has been shaving, and he's put on his shaving lotion, and Dick says, "Phew, what a scent. No wonder the girls fall for you. It makes them dizzy."
He says, this is a clue.
Yes.
"I have been using it since my college days. You can try it when you reach that stage."
Robin's
not shaving yet?
That's what I was going to say.
He's totally shaving. Because if he's not shaving, that means he's like 12.
I mean, he's certainly shaving his legs.
Yeah, he's... That's so silly. Maybe he's just joking.
Who taught you how to shave? Or did you have to figure it out on your own?
I had to figure it out on my own.
Well, no one... I did too, but no one told me when to start. The art teacher, Mr. Eckleberry, pulled me aside one day and told me he thought I ought to start shaving because I had peach fuzz all over my face.
Mm.
He said if I didn't arrest it then, it would just be peach fuzz forever. I had to shave so that I could get a thick, manly beard. He didn't actually say that, but I suspect that was the reason.
I mean... Maybe my stepbrother taught me how to shave. I don't remember.
The important thing is you know how to shave now.
Yes, and I have a very thick beard.
Yes, you do. You must have arrested the peach fuzz early in life.
I have to shave, like when I shave, I have to shave 3 times.
Just like Mr. Cleaver.
Because my face hair grows in all different directions, so, yeah.
Mr. Cleaver would come home from work, and June would tell him to go shave because they had a card party at the neighbor's.
Oh, yeah, so if we have a thing and I want to look nice and clean, I do have to shave in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Dear, what a nightmare.
That's fine. So, then, the Master of Disguise presents himself for inspection. Bruce Wayne dresses up. He goes, "Think the eraser will ever erase my disguise and see that Batman is underneath?" Oh, he's using a special voice.
Yes, he's disguised as an organ grinder.
Underneath.
Formerly a common sight on city streets, I guess.
Yeah.
At least in Bugs Bunny cartoons, there's always one walking around. And guess who's going to dress as the monkey? Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson. But he's not really, he's in a sort of an organ grinder's monkey outfit, but he's not dressed as
He's not
wearing fur or a mask.
Certainly Batman has enough monkeys of his acquaintance. He could have gotten an actual monkey, like Detective Chimp or Beppo the Super Monkey.
So, here we are on part two of the story.
I'm playing the organ song.
Carefully.
Inter auf den Stempel steht ein Leiermann. Do, 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 do. Any other organ grinder songs of your acquaintance?
Nope. But I didn't realize that you were singing Der Leiermann until you said the lyrics.
Oh, I did. I couldn't remember the first opening line, actually.
Carefully.
But on the evening.
Jesus. Here we go.
What?
Where are you? Are you on...
I'm on the second panel. On the evening, the fake crime is about to be committed. Why can't I come along, Batman? You're taking all the risks, and I'm the one that dressed like a monkey.
He says, look, I'll be taking a greater risk in case I can't count on you to help me out if I run into trouble. Now, just follow our plan of action for this caper.
Later, the Master of Disguises pulls a robbery, quote-unquote, inside an exclusive jewelry shop where he is pre-arranged with the police to rob the safe, filled with Bruce Wayne's own money.
But suddenly, from the shadows, steps a fantastic figure.
You must be the eraser, owing to the fact that you're wearing a giant eraser on your head.
A good eraser removes clues as they're being made.
Mm-hmm.
The eraser has a special compound which removes everything, even the most invisible impressions made by your souls.
So this character pulls the eraser mask off his head and literally uses it to erase the floor.
No wonder he didn't make it into the show.
No. This is a great gimmick. I think this could be a career for him without the costume.
Taking his giant head off. Yeah, he doesn't need this.
Yeah. Just dress in a regular suit.
He says, and so Bruce Wayne says.
Yeah, he takes the mask off and Bruce, in disguise.
He thinks to himself, it's Lenny Fiasco, my college classmate who always erasing my mistakes. Boy, has he wised up since then?
Has he, though? Mm. The disguised Batman receives a second electrifying shock when...
That was a pretty good act you put on, Bruce Wayne. You and your ward who played the monkey, Dick Grayson.
Me? That millionaire? You're bats. Why should a millionaire steal?
Don't ask me to explain some of your eccentric millionaires.
For days, months, years, I sat near you, Bruce, sniffing that special shaving lather of yours.
Sniff, sniff.
You're still using it. Didn't you know an individual's skin's acid content makes any lather he uses react differently than someone else's? That's true.
You're Bruce Wayne, all right. The guy all girls tumbled for, including the only girl I ever wanted, Celia Smith, the Ice Queen.
Was that her name? I never even had a date with her except for the Ice Carnival.
Bastard.
But that's no reason to turn criminal. Turn yourself in. I'll try to help you.
With an unexpected kick of one of his pencil point sharp feet.
So she meant nothing to you? That's all the more reason for me to put you away on ice, Bruce.
He's going
to
kill him.
Yeah.
Is he going to put his pencil point boots through Bruce's abdomen and kill him?
Look at him. He's kicking him towards the door where some other criminals are waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce, in disguise as the organ grinder, starts punching. These henchmen are getting punched out. And the eraser, also with pencil point sharp shoes, also has a special gas that comes out of his shoes. So kicking is his special power. Bruce gets knocked out. They take him to the eraser's hideout, which appears to be a mansion there in town.
Yeah, I think the eraser has some mental issues.
You think?
Yeah, he's created an ice sculpture a tableau.
Yes.
On his lawn.
Yes.
Of the Ice Queen and a special encasement for Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Yes.
I fully expected that the Ice Queen would have already been encased in ice. Like he would have kidnapped her too.
And killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bruce wakes up just in time to see himself being sealed inside this ice coffin. And he's going to freeze to death. Luckily, Batman knows one of the things that Lenny had to erase because he never learned was that heat expands and cold contracts. So squeezed tightly inside the icy confines of the figure, the master escape artist flexes and unflexes his supple wrists and ankles and bursts free of the ice sculpture.
They missed a wonderful opportunity to have him dance the Bat-toosie inside the ice sculpture, don't you think?
Well, he'd have to be able to move his arms for that because he has to get his fingers up to his eyeballs.
Yeah.
Just at that moment, the gang's attention is diverted from Batman towards Robin, who is racing out of the underbrush.
Like an alto.
Batman takes the opportunity to change into his costume. Remind me to come back to this. The eraser starts kicking at Robin with his pencil point sharp shoes. And he says, how could you, Robin, have traced Bruce Wayne here? I personally erased all clues from his phony crime. Exactly, Robin says. By erasing them, you applied pressure, which set off an alarm signaling us that you were in our trap. Tell him the rest, Batman.
And he turns around and says, and we tracked you here by the miniature sonar radar signal set this inside Bruce Wayne's shoes and its companion set in our shoes.
Classic Batman.
Classic Batman.
Eraser says, well, Bruce Wayne ran away to leave you two to face the music. And they start firing pistols, but of course there's all these ice
statues around. Mm-hmm. They block the bullets, leaving Batman and Robin enough time to start punching. Ta-ta-ta-tum. That's what looks like Batman is singing to me. Ta-ta-ta-tum. But Robin says it's the skater's waltz.
What's that?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Yes. Oh, that's it. Ta 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 tum. Ta 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 tum. Okay.
Ta 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 ta.
Music to put them on ice by. Yeah, nice one, Batman. Later, Batman and Robin visit Lenny in jail, where they've brought him a present, one of these three-foot-high erasers.
Have fun.
It'll be very useful in here. By the time you erase all the wrong you've done, Lenny, you'll be out. You could make a new start in life with a clean slate.
He says, I get the message. It's better to be a rubber than a robber.
That's something that Zan would say at the end of a Super Friends episode.
Well, and Bruce Wayne, you asshole, he's got his old college buddy.
Yeah.
Who's been put in prison for a life of crime. And the sole purpose of which was because he adopted the name The Eraser was because he was made fun of.
Yes.
And humiliated in college. And Batman gives him an eraser.
Yeah.
That's a real dick.
He could have given him a job at the Wayne Foundation. He could have erased all the whiteboards after meetings.
Who knows?
Uses skills.
Did you say you wanted to come back to Batman? And the costume?
Oh, yeah, because he changes into his costume. But the sole reason that he recognized the organ grinder as Bruce Wayne is because of the scent of his aftershave. He's still wearing his aftershave as Batman.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any kind of sense. No. I wonder if this next story will make any more sense.
Squire magazine was preparing to announce its annual selection of the 10 best dressed men in Gotham mm-hmm. City. Then suddenly, one by one, these men began to die. Why was the Hand of Death reaching out for the men on this list? Batman had a very special stake in finding out, for as the sartorially impeccable Bruce Wayne, he was on the list that was fast becoming a list of
the 10 best-dressed corpses in Gotham City. In police headquarters, Commissioner Gordon has called in his two top crime consultants, Batman and Robin, to listen to an extraordinary story from a magazine publisher, Matt Whitson.
Matt Whitson.
And each year, what does magazine publishers talk
about? And each year, Batman and Robin, my magazine Squire, selects the 10 best-dressed men in Gotham City. The award winners this year were to be revealed in our forthcoming issue. But during the past week, the first three men on the list met their deaths by a series of unexpected and tragic accidents.
Huh. According to this data, there was no apparent connection between the three accidents. They occurred at different times, under different circumstances, in different places.
That's right. And yet, I thought it best to kill the issue and report this to the police. Far-fetched as it seems, I feel that the others on the list are also threatened.
Mr. Whitson, do you have that 10 best list with you?
Well, there we see it.
Here we go. Charles Lowry, architect. Deems Davis, author.
Terrence Green, lawyer. Bruce Wayne, philanthropist.
Hampton Dennis, realtor.
Realtor.
Phil Walden, sportsman. Andre Morton, diplomat.
Van Wallace, banker. Rex Harris, actor. And Owen King, MD.
MD.
Medical doctor.
Remember, I know you do remember the wife of a colleague who, upon being introduced to her for the first time and I asked her what she did, mm-hmm. she said, I'm a philanthropist, with no further explanation.
Whatsoever.
Whatsoever. I still don't know what the hell she does.
Do you remember what I said?
No.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So you love men. Figures.
Yeah.
So Bruce Wayne, it's number four on the list. Three people have already been killed. Bruce Wayne's next in line.
Oh, my God.
I know.
So after the harried publisher has gone off,
Commissioner Gordon wants to know if Batman thinks there could be something non-coincidental about this series of deaths. Batman?
He says there could be, Commissioner.
But how?
Even assuming that the accidents could have been faked, that they were really clever murders, even so, why would anyone want to kill off the 10 best-dressed men of Gotham City? Well, someone who's not well-dressed, like the Eraser.
He says, your guess is as good as mine at this stage, Commissioner. Maybe after Robin and I have investigated, we'll be able to shed some light on the subject. We'll keep in touch.
You sure were in a hurry to leave the Commissioner's office, Batman. What's up?
Robin. That list explains what happened to Bruce Wayne this morning.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, you know that as Bruce, I went to the Wayne Foundation early today and arranged to meet you here afterward. On my way back from the foundation on the Palisades roadway, my wheel, it's gone loose, not controlling the car.
Screech, screech.
Bruce Wayne and his car go over a cliff.
Over a cliff. The yeah. Palisades, that's in New York, isn't it? Or is it New Jersey?
Palisades. It's on the Hudson River.
Yes.
I've seen them from, I guess it's on the Hudson River, so the Palisades would be on the New York side and the Jersey side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Luckily, Bruce Wayne is able to grab a branch on the way down. The car is destroyed, but he's hanging on by that branch. You mean to tell me the closest thing I've ever had to a father that you were in a terrible car accident today and barely survived, and I'm just now hearing about it now?
Well, Robin, it's been a busy day.
Robin doesn't really say that. I just wish he would have. Batman, after he climbed up back to the road unharmed and made it back to the city, I guess he can afford to lose a fancy roadster since he's a millionaire. Holy holocausts. It sure looks like someone is trying to wipe out the men on that list.
Yes, and whoever is behind it thinks he's finished off Bruce Wayne. That means that the next target is number 5 on the list, Hampton Dennis. That's where we're heading.
Soon, before the palatial home of the rich realtor.
So, Squire's... No, that's not good, Lord. Hold on a second. So, Squire is naming me in the fifth... Is naming me the fifth best dressed... Good God, will you do that, please?
So, Squire is naming me the fifth best dressed man in the city. The amount I pay for clothes, I should be the first.
You don't seem to realize how serious this is, Mr. Dennis.
And if you don't cooperate with Robin and me and stay in your house, you could become the best dressed man in the morgue.
I'll take my chances. I've always looked out for myself.
You'll have to excuse me. I've got an important business. But thanks for the coming to warn me, Batman.
Gee, that guy's cool as a cucumber.
I hope he doesn't end up cool as a corpse.
Batman and Robin, of course, are going to follow him. And shielded by darkness, the Batmobile keeps its quarry in view. It heads down to a squalid sector of town.
Huh.
What could bring a real estate... What kind of real estate business could bring Dennis into this part of town?
Shortly, as the dynamic duo watches from concealment,
the chauffeur popped into the basement, and now he's come out with a metal box.
There's something fishy about this, Robin. Let's find out what's going on.
Mind if I take a look at this box, Dennis?
Batman, so you were foolish enough to follow me.
You're the one who's going to have an accident, Strongen. Take care of him.
Look at this chauffeur. It's like he's possessed.
Yeah. He looks like he's got Betty Davis eyes, doesn't he?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. The guy smacks Batman behind the head.
Do you think a bitch slaps him from behind the head?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Look at the angle of his hand.
Yeah. He just went, ah!
And then Robin is trying to maneuver into position to do something, and the realtor grabs his...
I can't stand that you keep on calling him a realtor.
I'm doing it on purpose because I know it makes everyone angry.
Okay.
Grabs Robin's cape.
By the neck.
Starts swinging him around. Luckily, it's one of those quick release capes.
Yes.
Like cat collars. And Robin slips out of the cape and gives that realtor a hefty crunch across the face.
And Batman also gives the chauffeur a quick blop.
Hampton Dennis is going to pull a gun.
Oh, my God.
Luckily, Batman's thinking quick. He takes the chauffeur.
It just tosses him at the man with the gun.
Picks him up and throws him at the guy.
Batman's
knocks them both out.
I know Batman is not... He doesn't have super strength.
Not superhuman, no. But he's awfully strong.
He sure is.
He uses, you know...
Judo.
Things like dancers use to balance out and pick up heavy things. You know what I'm talking about.
Normally I do. I have no idea where...
You know, he uses a guy's weight into his advantage.
Oh, counterbalancing.
Yes, counterbalance.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I was taking ballet And I got free ballet lessons if I agreed to do the pas de deux class, the partnering class.
Uh-huh.
So I was a big guy, obviously.
Yes.
I was, and the other, there was another male dancer, and he was extremely fit, but he was short.
Yeah.
And he was a professional dancer. I was just taking ballet to take ballet. So I was assigned to this girl, and I was not strong. She was freaking, like, she was probably 5'10".
Uh-huh.
And solid muscle. Okay. She was exquisite.
Yes.
And it was pas de deux class, so she would be on her toes, her point shoes, and I had to pick her up and put her down and pick her up. And I was not strong enough to that poor girl. She would just wince every time because I was supposed to put her down lightly.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't strong. She was just solid muscle. I didn't stay in that class very long.
No.
I wasn't strong enough to do it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because it's just, I mean, what you do as a male dancer when you're working with a ballerina.
You do all the work.
You want to make her look graceful and beautiful, so you do a lot of the work.
Yeah. Why can't the man look graceful and beautiful? That's my question.
They're fit. They usually do.
Huh. Later, at police headquarters, that box that the chauffeur got was full of money.
Full of money.
Our investigation showed Dennis's real estate business was a cover.
Hi, Willoughby.
Batman and Robin, you've captured the secret king of the numbers racket. We've been trying to drag him down for months.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you, Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Now, Robin says, lucky for you, Dennis, that you got captured because the murderer won't be able to get at you in jail.
Well, I've heard of people being murdered in jail.
Yeah. What was that guy that Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes.
He... Killed himself,
quote-unquote. Yeah. He's probably still alive, actually. He's probably living on an island in the Mediterranean. So Batman and Robin are heading off back to Dennis's house. They've ruled out Dennis as a murderer, but the real killer, whoever he is, can hardly know yet about Dennis being arrested. That's being kept out of the papers.
Indeed.
If our quarry continues his pattern, he may try and arrange for some kind of lethal accident to happen to Dennis, or he might have already arranged it.
All the action is about to take place.
Yes. In they go to the house. Batman heads upstairs. Robin heads down to the basement where he discovers an indoor swimming pool. Wowee!
So there's a pommel horse. Not a pommel horse. What's that called?
Vaulting horse?
What is that called? Is it called a pommel horse?
No, pommel horse, you pommel. I think it's a vaulting
horse. I guess you use that for, like, arms and legs.
Yeah, you just swing your
legs. What do you use that rack for?
Hang your towels.
Do you think so? I wonder if you use it for stretching.
I don't know. We'll have to go to YouTube and find some old-timey exercise videos.
And one, and lift, and two, and duck. So
a complete gymnasium and a steam room.
Nothing in this looks tampered with yet. So he goes into the steam room, and it locks.
It locks behind him, and steam starts coming out. Robin can't get out. Steam is pouring in. I'll be cooked like a clam unless I get out of here. Gotta contact Batman on my two-way radio.
Batman, gasp. I found a booby trap. In fact, I'm in it. The steam room. I'm
choke.
Locked in.
Robin's voice on our transistor hookup.
Like a leaping tiger hurrying to aid the aid of his cub.
Well, let's focus on that.
A leaping tiger hurrying to the aid of his cub. Yeah, there's nothing homosexual about that.
Well, I think it's actually very paternal.
Okay.
So the Caped Crusader responds to the appeal, orders Robin to get down on the floor because steam will rise and
because I guess it's that hot. Makes sense.
Yeah. Batman's about to get at the door, bust it open, but just then a pistol comes out from behind a curtain and he says, "It's not your little playmate I'm after, Batman, it's you. Now don't move. I set this trap for Dennis, but closed it on Robin because I knew that it would bring you down here. You see, the two of you have been treading too close to my heels. You must be eliminated. Don't worry, I'll make it look like an accident afterward. Ha ha."
The fingers tightening on the trigger and his muscles like steel springs whip into motion toward the overhead flying ring.
Yes, luckily we're in an underground gymnasium. There's lots of rings and things to swing around on.
Batman swings and goes feet first to create the smallest possible target for him to shoot at. And
a kick and a punch.
Yeah, pow, pow. I mean, I would hate to have my feet shot at, but I guess if you're going to get shot at, it means, well, it worked.
Yeah. And he frees Robin. And then we're going to see who this person is. What?
Matt Whitson. The magazine publisher.
You mean the ex-magazine publisher, Robin. This is the end of his career. I don't know. I've seen people come back from worse.
Oh, Martha Stewart.
Robert Downey Jr. Vanessa Williams. She had a career-ending scandal, and look at her.
Hi, sweetheart.
Number one song, weeks later.
Yes. So later at the police headquarters, with a full, startling truth in the possession of the two super sleuths.
So it turns out that during the last war, Whitson was captured by the enemy. That was a very clever way to write that, instead of saying World War II, which would place it in time. Now we can read this story forever and enjoy it, because it would just say the last war. It could have been Gulf II. Whitson was captured by the enemy. While a prisoner, he turned coward and betrayed his country. It remained a secret, but somehow years after, Deems Davis, the author, uncovered the story while gathering material for a book on the war. Davis was unscrupulous. He decided to blackmail Whitson, but Whitson knew he would never again have an easy moment if he paid. So in desperation, he killed Davis and made it look like an accident. By sheer coincidence, earlier that same week, architect Charles Lowry also died in a genuine accident, which gave Whitson a brainstorm. Both men were on his best-dressed list, and so he decided to arrange accidents for others on the list, one after the other. In that way, he hoped to divert any possible attention from himself in the killing of Davis and to put the police on the false trail, hunting for some psychopathic killer who didn't exist, while he himself escaped punishment. Wow. Well, he sure underrated you, Batman.
Boy, that took a long time for him to say that.
I'll say. Well, it's a lot of... You have to save all the exposition for the end because there's so much punching before that.
Oh, true that.
Now, I have some exciting news.
What?
I've learned how to pronounce Irene Vartanoff's name. It's not Vartanoff. It's Vartanoff.
Right. The
famous letter writer.
Yes.
The other exciting news, I think she lives like 20 minutes away from us. She lives in West Virginia.
She does.
I'm not going to disclose the town. I don't want a bunch of autograph hounds going after her like they go after Bruce Wayne.
Right.
But here's a letter from Irene Vartanoff, at the time living in Bethesda, Maryland. Dear Editor, Batman's baffling turnabout in the August Batman was a very, very enjoyable story. Not because it was different or unusual, mind you. What could possibly be more overused than the ex-con our hero sent at the river years ago has now come back for his unjust revenge? No, this story was good simply because we all knew that the silly criminal wasn't going to get away with it. Try to impersonate Batman, will he? Better men than he have tried to do away with the dynamic duo and failed, and they haven't used such lame-brained schemes either. Honestly, you'd think a criminal would at least have the sense to case the joint and learn what his quarry had been up to the last 5 years, but no. He just rushes in with no preparation into the toughest thing possible, impersonating Batman to Robin. Well, he certainly deserved the complete collapse of a silly scheme which Batman and Robin brought about with admirable ease. As for the other story in this issue, A Touch of Poison Ivy, well, it was even more ridiculous than the first Poison Ivy story, and that's saying a lot. If you have to make Batman fall for a dizzy villainess, why not let it be the Catwoman? At least she's a little more interesting. Irene Vartanoff, Bethesda, Maryland. That's interesting because, as you know, Julia Schwartz called Irene Vartanoff Poison Ivy because her initials IV.
Right.
That's not all in this letter column.
What?
The next letter is from Mike Friedrich, who later became a comics professional. Dear editor, fantastic! That's the only possible way I could describe Poison Ivy. With the explosiveness of a haunted tank, Robert Kanigher has brought us what assuredly must be the best new villainess of the year. The second Poison Ivy story was as great as the first one last issue. There were plenty of the great action Batman is renowned for. And lastly, the punny humor Robin's well known for. I'm, quote, itching for more. Mike Friedrich, Castro Valley, California. And finally, this sweet, sweet letter. Dear Mr. Donenfeld, May we take this opportunity to thank you on behalf of the parents of the children in the special class at the Clover School for your part in Carmine Infantino's visit of June 3rd, 1966. Our youngsters will never forget the day he spent in their classroom. You should have seen their enthusiasm as he drew the many pictures they suggested to him. The crowning touch was his presentation of each one's caricature drawing. What a memento! It's very difficult to express gratitude. These children miss much in life due to their handicap. Oh. However, things such as Mr. Infantino's visit make up for the many experiences from which they are excluded. The thoughtfulness of men like you and, of course, Mr. Infantino help make all our lives brighter. Mrs. Clarence Erlinson, Mrs. Thomas Walsh, room mothers in Miss Schmidt's class.
That is sweet.
There is also a letter from Miss Schmidt, but yeah. I won't read that. I might cry.
Nice.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, now streaming on all podcast platforms. And you can find us right back here next week.
Indeed.
Bye!